Hostility is like a psychic boomerang. It's harmless phosphorescence. Hello, everyone. I'm Thoreau Smiley, and I have space rabies. This week, I'm joined by...
Josh Cece, and I need to stop doing so much to...
Brian Lesh, and this movie defies all the laws of nature.
Alaric Weber, master of quack foo.
And this is Harmless Phosphorescence, the podcast where we watch every theatrically released full-length live-action superhero movie ever made, gather some research into the production and the source material, and then we tell you about it. This week we are watching Howard the Duck, released August 1st, 1986, with a running time of 111 minutes. It had a budget of $37 million. It made $38 million.
Ooh, that was close.
Yeah. They just got it. And is currently sitting at a 15% on Rotten Tomatoes. So that's up from Supergirl.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Is it?
Yeah, but Supergirl was 9.
But is it?
Well, yeah. But is it? So this is our very first Marvel cinematic movie.
All right.
Yeah.
We were finally cracked Marvel.
Yep. Our first George Lucas, too.
Yes, our first George Lucas. Would you care to tell us a little bit about the comics, Josh?
All right. Well, Howard the Duck was created by Steve Gerber and Val Myrick, I believe. But Gerber was the artist, and he went on to, retain the... not property of Howard, but he's been associated with him all along. He appeared in Adventures into Fear, number 1973, where on the cover he's protecting Red Sonja from the Conan.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Canon, huh. Red Sonja. He had a pretty successful run in the late 70s and early 80s. He would pop up here and there. He's been reintroduced to the MCU in the last few years. James Gunn brought him back.
Yes.
As we know. And that led to his a cameo in Endgame. Something that the movie doesn't really do a good job of telling us is that he lives in an alternate dimension, sort of a mirror Earth situation, not a planet that's far, far away. So why there are so many correlations to Earth. It's just that in this dimension, ducks evolved rather than primates.
Okay, that makes things much clearer.
I know. A lot of my questions related to that. Right. They don't really try to tell you.
But Duck World had two moons.
Duck World did have two moons. So. And that gets us to Tatooine, gets us to George Lucas. Yeah. Apparently, George Lucas wanted to make a Howard the Duck movie right after American Graffiti. Like, he wanted to make the movie, and he wanted to make it as early as 1973-ish, 74, whatever.
Didn't he initially want to animate it?
Yes. Well, he didn't necessarily, but that came up in the conversations.
Okay.
His producers, Hyuk, Hoik, I think maybe it's Hoik, his wife, Katz, they wanted to make it animated, but Lucas convince them not to.
Right. I see.
And they went to film school with George Lucas. They wrote American Graffiti, and then they wrote this as well.
As well as doing an uncredited rewrite on episode 4.
Oh, interesting. Wow. Interesting. Yes. Yeah. So Howard has had a comeback also in the comics in the last 2 years, I believe, or year. But same characters throughout. He lived in Cleveland with Beverly and... his adventure spawned from there. But he's popped up everywhere from Deadpool to Marvel Zombies, that kind of deal.
I saw an appearance in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the comic book.
Yeah.
Not the show. But.
Huh.
A neat little tidbit. So, yeah, for the movie to be made, I guess Universal did a deal with Marvel. But I couldn't find anywhere if they had bought more properties than that or if it was like, because Sony was offered all of the... library, and they turned it down saying nobody cares about anybody but Spider-Man. And I wonder what happened with this one. We want Howard, you can keep everything else. We want this duck story.
Yeah,
but I guess in the comics when he first appeared, he was he was pantsless. He only wore a shirt, and Disney didn't sue Gerber. But they contacted him and basically said, like, if you put pants on him, we're fine. Like, right. Otherwise, he looks too much like Donald Duck.
Or I like to think it wasn't because of any sort of likeness. That you're just really disturbed by him pantsless.
I would hope so.
Just duck butthole the entire time.
Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of it. He often did crossovers with Man-Thing, which was Marvel's Swamp Thing. And I looked up to see who ripped off who, and they basically came out at the same time, Man-Thing and Swamp Thing. I don't know how that coincidence happened, or if there was some espionage. But yeah, one didn't really come much before the other. I think that's all I have on Howard Duckson. His name is Duckson.
Howard Duckson?
Yeah, but on Earth we just call him the Duck. But,
the Duck. Yeah. There was a couple little tidbits about the production itself. Of course, we'll get into the cast and crew. But during the screenwriting process, they placed a pretty strong emphasis on special effects over story. Mm-hmm. Basically trying to design set pieces rather than a coherent plot. But
you can't tell at all.
No, not even slightly. Then they said it's a... the tone of the film is in diametric opposition to the comics. So Katz declared it's a film about a duck from outer space.
Right, which is not Gerber's attitude.
No, it's not supposed to be an existential experience, whereas Gerber declared the comic book is a series of existential jokes.
Yeah, the humor was kind of subversive and sarcastic. Lucas even mentioned liking that about it.
Yeah.
The comic delved heavily into social satire.
Yeah, yeah. And in fact, in the newer run, I bought the first three or four issues, and one of them has him in a welfare office.
Oh, man. Yet again, but does he just then, like this. Does he start stealing the half pennies?
No.
quick tidbit, the voice of Howard in the Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2, Seth Green.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So that brings us more to the production, our cast and crew. It starred, well, let's see. We talked about Lucas and the producers, and they also, Willard Hoik and Gloria Katz, as you said, they worked on American Graffiti with them. And they also worked on Raiders as well as Star Wars.
And it sounds like George Lucas kind of made this so that he could play around with ILM. Because when the deal was being inked, he's like, yeah, just trust me. Like, go ahead and greenlight this project. ILM will take care of the rest.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we just want to make ducks.
Yeah, I think he wanted to, experiment with stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was totally it. Because he stepped down as president of Lucasfilm in order to do this.
Ah, right.
To have the time to just play with ILM.
So I'll bet it was a nice, safe movie away from his franchises, Just like, let's see what we can do with animatronics.
But, this movie came out the same year as other George Lucas productions, Labyrinth and Captain EO.
Oh, wow.
Interesting. Wow. Hmm. Yeah, and it's interesting the idea came from him specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was into it.
Strange
little man.
yeah. So Leah Thompson, the star, she studied ballet as a girl. She danced professionally by the age of 14. She was told she didn't have the right body to be a ballerina by Mikhail Baryshnikov.
Oh, yeah. He would know.
Yeah, he would. She moved to New York at age 20 and performed in a number of Burger King advertisements in the 80s alongside Sarah Michelle Gellar and Elizabeth Shue, her co-star from Back to the Future.
Right.
And then she made her home media screen debut in 1982 as Sissy Loper in the interactive live-action video game mystery disc, Murder Anyone?
What? What is that?
She starred in a interactive live-action video game called Mystery Disc, Murder Anyone.
She's taken some interesting risks.
She has
in her career.
And then, of course, she moved on to Red Dawn, Back to the Future, Space Camp, Howard, of course, Some Kind of Wonderful, Casual Sex, Back to the Futures Part 2 and 3, where she got an extra role as her own son's girlfriend, which
yeah,
I yeah, never mind. That always bugged me. But the last she was in a bunch of stuff in the late 90s and through today that I haven't really heard of.
She had her own sitcom called Caroline in the City, where she was a comic strip artist, a cartoonist.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Caroline in the City. And she also was in The Beverly Hillbillies and The Little Rascals.
Oh, she was in The Little Rascals?
And The Beverly Hillbillies.
Far out.
Yeah.
I love Leah Thompson. Yeah.
Yeah, she's great. She's adorable. Yeah. Let's see. So it also starred Jeffrey Jones.
Oh, Jeffrey Jones.
Yes, let's get to Jeffrey Jones.
So he was all over the 80s, just all over him.
Okay, who's Harry? He was in Amadeus, Beetlejuice, best known as Rooney in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. He was in Who's Harry Crumb, The Hunt for Red October, Ed Wood, The Devil's Advocate, Stuart Little, Ravenous, Sleepy Hollow, How High. He was a regular on Deadwood. He did voices on Batman the Animated Series and Justice League. Hmm. And in 2002, he was arrested for possession of child pornography and accused by a 17-year-old boy of solicitation to pose for nude photographs.
Mm, yep.
Wow.
So there's that.
Yeah. Oh, wow, the mighty have fallen.
I know.
Rooney!
Yeah. 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 So it's kind of hard to look at him now.
Yeah, it really is. He, He Kevin Spacey'd before Kevin Spacey.
Before it was cool.
Yeah. We've also got Tim Robbins in there.
Yeah.
A young Tim Robbins graduated from college in 1981, then founded the Actors Gang, which was an experimental theater group, along with some of his college softball team, which included John Cusack.
Wow. Yeah.
Who was considered to be the voice of Howard the Duck.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
He auditioned. Yeah.
Interesting.
And wasn't Jack Black somehow involved in this troupe of his? Because
that might be.
A lot of those people in the troupe were in Bob Roberts. I don't know if anybody's seen Bob Roberts.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And Tim Robbins actually was also in Tenacious D, The Pick of Destiny.
Yeah.
Right.
And High Fidelity.
With Jack Black. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And John Cusack.
Yeah. And there was a recent one, I think it was on HBO, one season of a show called The Brink.
I remember that.
Political humor.
And it's the two of them.
It's Tim Robbins and Jack Black.
Yeah, I have seen
it. Was a fun show.
Like a poster for that or something.
Okay. Tim Robbins, of course, went on Top Gun, Bull Durham, Eric the Viking, Tapeheads, Jacob's Ladder, Cadillac Man, Bob Roberts, The Player, Shortcuts, The Shawshank Redemption,
The
Hudsucker Proxy,
yeah,
Dead cool. Man Walking, Austin Powers 2. The list goes on.
We'll see him again in Green Lantern.
Yeah,
we will. That's right. We will meet him again in Green Lantern sometime next year.
I see Tim Robbins every day because one of the only DVDs I know that just keeps playing on a loop is The Shawshank Redemption. So I put it on for my dogs when I leave so there's background noise. Yeah. So every morning or afternoon, I see Tim Robbins sentenced to Shawshank.
One day,
and I always come
gonna
home when Brooks is hanging himself.
Oh wow!
Jeez,
it's a bummer.
Your dogs are going to learn how to escape from watching that movie.
I tried Forrest Gump, but it doesn't replay. It stops.
That's probably for the best.
Yeah, they're learning a lot about prison in Maine in the 40s.
Do you think that's why there's so much Shawshank on like TBS? They just forgot to take the disc.
Yeah.
They forgot to take the disc out. Yeah, exactly. Okay, we found it calms dogs. Even the sexual assault scene. Yeah, even though.
Especially.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
They're dogs.
They're into it. Chip Zane. Zine or Zane, I don't know, is best known. I've come to realize a ongoing theme on this is me not knowing how to pronounce names.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
And not looking into it.
We can work on it.
I don't know either.
I prefer to not look into it.
Well, and it's not like we're often dealing with the A-list of celebrities.
Yeah, it's
could
true.
Be Zine.
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 Zine. Zane.
I'm sure some of these people still have pop
lists. Haven't you seen Monty Python?
Yeah. Zod.
But it's spelled Z-O-D. But it's pronounced Mr. Ferry with a pickle bob. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't remember what John Cleese says.
So old Chip is best known for playing the lead role of the baker in the original Broadway production of Into the Woods by Stephen Sondheim.
That's him?
What Wikipedia tells me.
That's him?
That's him. He has also appeared in all of the Marvin Stories musicals by William Finn, of which I have never heard.
Yeah, he's done a lot of Broadway.
Yeah,
he's done really fine movies.
He's done a ton of Broadway. He was in United 93. He was in Love American Style and a bunch of TV. Chips, Ryan's Hope, Grace Quigley, As the World Turns, Cheers, New Heart. He was in Hello Again, 30-something, Law and Order, a bunch of small roles, walk-on roles in TV.
And he's the guy that voices Howard, right?
The voice of Howard, yeah. There were seven little people that played
the
role of Howard. He was
Bippy the Clown in Wings.
Oh, yeah?
That's amazing.
He was in Breakfast of Champions,
yeah.
The Bruce Willis...
Oh, Nick Nolte?
Yeah. No. Oh, yeah, that's right. Nolte played Kilgore Trout. That's right.
He was in Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Undead.
Yes.
Oh, the Zaha.
I didn't know that existed. I'm going to have to check
Neither
that
did
out.
I.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
He was also in...
Very meta.
He was also in three episodes of House of Cards with Kevin Spacey.
Yes, he was.
Done a lot of work with some questionable actors.
Yeah, I know. But the duck, you can count on him.
Yes.
He's not a pervert.
So,
Oh, so you said seven little people. I think there were only two. A lot of the credits were going to the special
the
effects
puppeteers.
People, the puppeteers.
Okay,
yeah.
Yes. Good point. The music was by John Barry, best known for composing the James Bond theme.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, best known, I would say.
Yeah. He also, I cut out like half of the list of movies he's worked on, which is insanely long. But he also worked on Body Heat, The Cotton Club, Jagged Edge, Out of Africa, Peggy Sue Got Married, Hearts of Fire with Bob Dylan.
Yes. And Rupert Everett.
Yeah. Dances with Wolves, Chaplin, Year of the Comet, Indecent Proposal, The Scarlet Letter, Mercury Rising, Enigma, and... He composed the score for The Incredibles, which was then rejected.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. And then
Thomas Dolby did the songs.
Yeah, the songs. Best known for She Blind. Exactly. So
were you going to talk about Ed Gale at all?
Talk about Ed Gale, Al?
Ed Gale was the leading body actor for Howard the Duck.
Okay.
Howard the Duck was his first movie. He was also he would later be in Spaceballs as one of the dinks.
Uh-huh.
Child's Play as a stunt double for Chucky. Chopper Chicks in Zombie Town.
Classic.
Zombie Town.
Yeah.
It's nice that they stay within the borders of their municipality.
Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey as Station.
Station.
Yeah, Station. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? He was the little man.
Oh, okay.
Huh.
Oh, yeah, bragging on their own midget.
And he was also in Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle as the Mole.
Oh, okay.
The Mole. And he was in a number of other things, but those were the ones that popped out at me.
Okay. So, cool. Yeah. This is Howard the Duck. Why don't we take a listen to the trailer?
Across the sea of stars lies another world, a world almost exactly like ours. This is where he lives. He's 27 years old, single but searching. Favorite sports, windsurfing and Aikido. Favorite pastimes, cigars and sex. He has everything, except fulfillment. And then one night, it happens.
Hey, good buddy, are you home?
He has a very sudden midlife crisis. He lands in Cleveland.
You do know why you were sent to me?
Listen to me, small visitor. I can explain how you got here.
Maybe you're here for some greater purpose, some cosmic cause.
Here, he's forced to reassess his career goals.
You went to med school?
To explore new relationships. To redefine his self-image.
I'm sorry, we don't allow pets on the premises.
To adjust to a changing lifestyle.
All right, pull it out!
Until he discovers just who he really is.
Oh, no.
A duck in big trouble.
That's a duck, man.
Howard the Duck, trapped in a world he never made.
That was
the comic tagline,
too. Trapped in a world he never made.
Yeah.
I take a little bit of offense to that because I'm trapped in a world I never made.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, we all are trapped in a world we never made. Yeah.
So
not trapped in a world he is unfamiliar with.
Right, that he never made. Yeah, that's everyone on Earth.
Yeah.
Loophole one.
That settles the argument about the existential crisis thing, too.
Let's see. So Siskel and Ebert.
They had to watch it.
Talk about it in Worst of 1986. They didn't have.
They didn't review it on.
They
its
didn't
own.
Give it its own segment. No.
But Siskel's all like, I think Karen Allen should have played Howard the Duck. And I could see the wires. No one's flying, Gene. I could see the wires.
They gave it two thumbs down. I didn't catch a clip for that.
Oh, so they have thumbs. We're gonna have. Thumbs moving forward.
Yes, they've evolved. Yes, they have thumbs, as does Howard.
Soon they'll be making simple tools.
simple film review tools.
Ooh. Yeah, they were that.
With that, you fellas ready to go ahead and get into this thing?
Yeah.
All right, everybody, this is Howard the Duck. We open with some smooth 80s sax.
It looked like it's a crime drama, like a cop movie from the 80s. The
skyline.
Yeah.
Blade Runner.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I expected noir. like Nick Nolte or a pre-accident Gary Busey to like come out of like
right. Yeah, in the messed up, you know, office of their private investigation.
Right.
You know,
he
sleeps there, eats there. Very noir.
There's a city under two pink moons.
We come to discover that the city is Marshington, D.C.
Marshington. All right, that's not too bad. So the duck, because the duck puns, I started to have a problem with the basic concept of the duck puns.
Oh, God, yeah. Everything
well, I know, they treat it sort of like the Smurfs treat it.
Right.
Yeah. just an all-purpose.
The planet is simply called Duck World.
Right. Yeah. So we don't call this Human World.
No, we don't.
No. Yeah.
We don't. We don't like.
We also don't call it Cleveland.
Right.
The person on his
Cleveland.
They didn't do any. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was just gonna say that we don't call the man on our dollar bill George Humanton, like George Duckington.
Was it Marshington?
George Marshington.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it should be.
But again, the movie didn't really. Explain that to us, that, you know, it's a mirror image, you know, dimension. In the comic, it's still sort of a wormhole sucked through.
And the writer of the film herself said he's a duck from outer space.
Right.
I mean, we're all from outer space.
Gerber.
You're just blowing minds today, Brian.
He's just a normal duck, you guys. Yeah. That's the craziest part.
Maybe this is like a Fight Club situation. Beverly's the only one that can see Howard, and just when she needs to kick ass.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, what are the odds that like this, a 27-year-old
He's anthropomorphic.
Okay. He is smoking cigars.
He comes off as much more mature. Yeah, I don't know what the life expectancy is.
He should have been like 45 or 55
right.
Or
I mean, he looked youthful, but he carried a lot of weight.
What was his job? Did he work for the government?
Yeah, he was
something?
An ad copywriter.
Ad copywriter. But he gave up his dreams of being a rock star become an ad copywriter.
In high school.
He gave up med school pursue his dreams of being a rock star, and then gave up his dreams of being a rock star to become an advertising copywriter.
Because his parents wouldn't stop praying.
Yeah.
Right.
So he's George Costanza.
Exactly. Well, and his yeah, but George Costanza didn't have dreams.
He sometimes didn't wear pants.
Yeah, for this.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he had, yeah. But no, because his girlfriend's dad was in the advertising business, and he got him the job as a copywriter.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Thank you, Al.
27, either way.
Really,
right, but his apartment,
details.
There's a lot going on.
Okay, yeah. So Howard arrives home from a day at work. Listens to his messages, grabs a beer, feeds his fish, and
the beer was Birdweiser.
I figured there was a pun. I couldn't catch it.
I thought it was going to be Duckweiser, but it turned out to be Birdweiser.
They threw you for a curve.
Yeah. There was also Tyson fried chicken in the fridge.
Oh,
what? Wait. And he makes a big deal about
what?
Eating it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I like all the movie posters.
Weren't there frogs in the fridge?
No. Frogs?
Like jelly frogs?
I did not catch the frogs.
Yeah. I didn't really look in the fridge. I'm gonna.
Yeah, interesting.
I'm gonna never go back and do that.
Just the way that they depicted Duck World as being normal, just
so
just
normal
duck.
Yeah.
To an annoying extent. Yeah. It's just as lame as our dimension.
Yeah. It's. Yeah.
There's nothing remarkable about Howard
everything
except
is
for
a duck
his
fun.
Quack foo.
Yeah. So he's got.
They are constantly mentioning the fact they are ducks.
Yeah.
Like to themselves.
Yeah. There were a lot of details on the Breeders of the Lost Stork.
Yeah. Yes. Why wouldn't Raiders
of the Lost Stork? Yeah.
Breeders. So Indiana Drake.
Uh-huh. Well, only birds breed.
Yeah, apparently.
Indiana Drake, the new hero from the creators of Beaks and Fowl Wars. I'm assuming Beaks is their version of Jaws.
Jaws, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. And then down at the bottom is said from Lakes Film LTD and Stellar Pictures.
That's Lucasfilm.
So, yeah it would be in this on this planet, it would be George Lakes, and I'm just guessing Steven Spielberg.
Oh, it and would definitely be
Universal Pictures, is probably the
Stellar.
Stellar Pictures,
yeah. Wow. Uh-huh. Yes.
They didn't have a good bird joke for that.
I guess not.
For Universal.
Yeah. So he's got a Splash Dance poster as well.
Yeah.
Splash Dance. Yes.
A Flash Dance. And then My Little Chickadee with Mae West and W.C. Fields.
W.C. Fowls.
Right, exactly. Then that's what made me be like, everybody seems to have a bird-related last name except for Howard.
But he does.
Then I found out it was Duxon. Yeah. But, yeah.
Well, in the movie, it's on the license, and on his mail, it actually says Howard T. Duck.
Wait. Yeah. Right. Wait. Yeah. The human equivalent of that is Manson.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man.
All right, let's jot minds. That down. Let's put that in the dossier. I'm the son of man. I'm the man's son.
I'm the son of duck. I'm the duck son.
You're looking through me because you're looking at yourself, man.
There's an old
I'm
photo.
A copyright editor.
There's an old photo of Howard in a pot field.
Oh,
yeah. That was awesome. Yeah. Yeah, those good old days.
In his young days.
That's right. Wasn't he in hippie clothes?
Yes, he was.
Linen specs.
Yeah. He's only 27 in 1986, so he would have been born in 1959. So that would have been mid-70s.
Time is different there. So like Woodstock happened much later, and it was actually started by that bird from Snoopy. Yeah, so it's a way different. That happened later, like in the 70s.
There's a poster of his Howard and the Heartbreakers band.
That's right, mm-hmm. Yes.
So I just assumed one of their hits would be The Waiting is the hardest part.
The Waiting.
You really went all out on this one, Al. I'm proud of you.
Beak Down. Flapping Down a Dream.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
You missed your calling.
Wow. Duck
if we do figure out if we do He's figure out time hunter. Travel, it's to get Al in that meeting.
Like, who is this
kid?
You
would have saved this
movie.
I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
He's got ideas.
You're like, wait, I have more duck puns.
Right.
So there's nothing good.
Do this all day.
There's nothing good on TV. There's a crazy...
Crazy Webby.
Crazy Webby commercial.
Yeah, so on the East Coast, there's Crazy Eddie. Have you guys ever heard of Crazy Eddie?
Yeah, I'm familiar with Crazy Eddie.
Yeah, he was an icon.
Crazy Webby. And what was the soap opera that they were watching, or the doctor show?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Eggs of Our Lives?
Nice. He picks up
My eggs?
All right. They're getting weaker.
As the nest,
Workshop them with Brian first.
He picks up a Play Duck magazine.
Okay.
And he muses.
It's probably the biggest problem in the movie.
The Play Duck?
He muses. Who'd they interview this month?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, a joke to, we all were. We just read them for the articles.
Yes. Yeah. Before the internet, kids.
Well, and of course, he immediately turns to the centerfold.
Yeah.
And we see our first set of duck tits.
Yes.
Right.
It was duck boobs.
Duck boobs.
Well, duck nipples, really. They could have pulled off breasts, like just the formation of feathers, sort of like they do in cartoons, Yeah. They don't draw boobs, but that's just sort of the shape of that duck. But no. Nipples.
So here's the question. In his world, are ducks mammals?
No, because he won't eat eggs, as we'll
they,
see
so
later
they do
on.
Come from eggs.
Yeah. Shouldn't be.
So why would ducks have nipples?
Well, maybe they're
why
just
only the female?
Decorative, like the portholes on those old cars.
Yeah, I guess.
So you have to have them on, or you pour?
There's no functional purpose to them. They just.
Well, yeah, those are male nipples, but why do the females have nipples?
Okay.
Why do the females have mammalian glands at all?
Also, I know we're just trying to guess at what Duck World is really like here, but why did we have to see that?
Right.
Twice.
So, in this movie.
As many times as Naked Kal-El.
You know, free the nipple, I'm all about it. But why
duck?
But human
duck
nipples.
Boobs.
Two
in the movie. I mean,
two instances of duck boobs.
And
right.
I'm not here to knock anybody's fetishes or anything, but a million furries.
Why'd you look at me?
Born overnight.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I haven't been to your house. But,
yeah, I do like ducks.
You're a duck
that
guy.
Know me, know that.
Well,
but
okay.
Only as friends.
But so, who is this movie for? Is
okay.
it because it's kind
yeah.
of like a kids' movie?
Oh, it's PG. It's rated PG.
It is
with
PG.
Duck boobs,
which
we
know,
PG.
But this
PG
not
meant
actual
something
nudity,
else.
You know.
No, this right. was 86. This was yeah. post 13, right? 13 had already gone into effect, the PG-13.
Oh, I think so, yeah.
So,
and it's not just these boobs. That's comical. I wouldn't care, you know, if kids yeah. saw those. But,
oh, yeah.
like, there are so many elements where it's just like, oh, really? Are the kids?
Well, okay.
Do the kids
I mean,
think the tiny condom
I'm sorry,
fine?
But Leah Thompson cavorting on the bed later on, like
oh yeah, it was
like it's
very overt.
Yeah.
So yeah,
not to you know get into too much of that because this movie is a disaster with or without the nudity mm-hmm. of ducks,
and not to well, and this love spa that he works in later.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's
well,
some
yeah,
interesting decisions.
Yeah. We've got we'll get
that's
there
directly based on something.
I think the target audience for this is drug users. Honestly, that's yeah. the only thing that I can think of.
I don't know if they care. Like, you know what I mean? I think it's like we were saying earlier. I think maybe Lucas wanted to test out some new shit at ILM.
Well, he...
like, make it.
This didn't come up in the production notes, but he bankrolled this movie intending, of course, to make money.
Sure.
Sure.
And yeah. he did not make money. The plan was that this movie was going to put him into the black, and its failure led to him selling the digital aspect of ILM
wow.
to Steve Jobs,
oh.
which became Pixar.
Pixar, yeah.
So Howard the Duck yeah. directly led to Pixar.
Yeah, it's kind of
so
interesting.
I guess,
you
yeah,
know.
Thanks, Howie.
That's what we get for having animatronics that fail. If
well,
it had been a successful animatronic
hey, but,
movie, that
but,
might not
but
have
But now,
happened.
Thanks to the fact that we are living in the darkest timeline, mm-hmm. those are all back under the same house again.
Yeah,
yeah all owned.
Yeah, it's...
I thought the animatronics were pretty cool, actually. I thought Howard's face was extremely expressive.
Yeah.
For the
he,
time.
He looked
like,
great. Although they
when
had
he was scared, he looked scared. When he was mad, he looked mad.
They did have a lot of problems with them, though.
Sure.
So because of the limited preparation time, very ducks created for the film would explode, lose feathers. Multiple ducks were built with the wrong proportions. On the first day of shooting, the crew realized the poor quality of the effects when they found that the inside of the puppet's neck was visible when its mouth opened.
Oh, wow.
Hoik repeatedly reshot scenes involving Howard as the animatronics were improved. And because multiple puppeteers were in charge of controlling different parts of the animatronic duck, Hoik was unable to coordinate the shoot properly.
Hmm.
You can kind of feel that throughout the movie, too. It's shot like a Disney play on set kind of thing.
Yeah,
there's no
it's
life
not
to
very
the
interesting.
Cinematography or,
yeah, it's not very interestingly staged.
Not that Dutch Angles would have saved this, but
a very interesting tidbit. When the chair is propelled out of the apartment on wires, that's the first instance of wires being digitally erased from a film.
Oh, wow. Cool. See, yeah, experimenting.
They could have used that in later sequences, like when he's spinning around and you can see the rope still.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So,
anyways,
yeah. So, as he's reading the latest issue of Playduck magazine, his armchair begins to quake violently and propels him out of his apartment building and into outer space, or possibly through space time. I don't know.
They didn't explain
Did
that.
He call it an earthquake?
At first, yes, because that's what it felt like.
Not a duck quake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
A beam of light.
Oh, right. Yeah. Why would he call it that?
Yeah.
A beam of light sucks him through the cosmos. Then a voiceover tells us the secrets of the universe.
Well, and that voiceover is listed as the voice of the cosmos.
Yes.
The just titles hilarious. Looked pretty cool.
The titles look cool. Well, yeah. And
Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
Yeah, they threw a twist.
And he says, in the beginning was
yeah.
Howard the Duck.
Yeah. It's gearing you up for fun.
Yeah, oh, it really is.
Too bad.
Yeah.
That opening sequence was amazing, though. That whole him getting sucked out of his house and through space.
It looked amazing. It looked so amazing. Howard eventually lands on Earth in an easy chair in an alley. He is immediately accosted by punk rockers who try to get him into a club where Leah Thompson is playing. He's not let in as they assume he is a child.
I described them as glam punks.
Glam.
Would that be correct?
I mean, is that the kind of feel? Yeah.
It was punk rockers at first, but glam punks later. You see their costumes change a little bit. I don't know.
They just looked like the 80s versions of what people thought, you know, bad rockers looked like at that time.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Lots of studs.
There were so many movies with, like, tough guys that, well, that was the culture. All those hair bands.
Yeah.
And, you know, but really pretty tough guys.
But, then Madonna, that kind of, like, I'm punk, but I play pop music kind of, like, right. Look thing.
Yes. Yeah, because he had a lace glove.
Yeah.
Which Leah Thompson's character, Beverly, was clearly Madonna.
Yeah. Clearly. Yeah.
I think she even says that in her, in the production notes I read. But, do you see the dude's jacket with all the doll heads or the baby faces all over it?
Oh, yeah. That's right. The dolls.
The guy who did too much toot.
Toot, yeah. Yes. The toot guy.
So they grab Howard and use him to taunt a dweeb.
Yeah.
That's their first action.
Oh, that's right. Right. Yes.
Hey, you that's see this my talking day. Thing? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he was down with it.
Yeah. So he has a series of mishaps, including a run-in with an all-girl biker gang.
Wasted.
Satan's sluts.
Oh, yeah.
That's the name of the biker gang. That's not my description of them. They seemed like very normal.
A very normal people. All-female biker gang
from the early 80s. Yeah.
Try not to get into trouble with biker gangs out there. She knocks the shit out of Howard. She Hulk punches him off of her motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like a Miss Piggy thing.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh yeah, where she does the flying kick.
Yeah, it was great.
Have we seen Cherry Bomb yet?
Cherry Bomb is playing throughout this.
We've kind of behind a chain link fence.
Rock and roll band. Hey, you gotta stop those glass bottles somehow.
Oh, I know. Right? She's like, that was the theme to the TV show Rawhide. Thank you.
At this point, they're playing the song Hunger City.
Thomas Dolby.
By Thomas Dolby. Performed by Leah Thompson and the rest of the actors.
She was
Cherry
okay.
Bomb.
Yeah. She was, I mean.
So is Cleveland, what is it, Hunger City?
Yeah.
She's living in Hunger City.
Clearly, Cleveland is this post-apocalyptic punk rock wasteland.
Well, yeah, the Cuyahoga had caught on fire a little bit before that.
I mean, have you been through Cleveland?
No, I've
It's
never
not
been.
That far
it's
off.
It's one of the few states I've avoided.
The Rock and Roll
somehow.
Hall of Fame. Do not.
It's not Hunger City though.
Ohio and Indiana in general. Like, there's a lot of places you don't want to stop at. So, to all of our listeners in Ohio and Indiana, I love your states.
Yeah, we'll stop at your house.
Yeah.
Hunger City is one of the better musical moments in this movie.
It's pretty
too.
Good.
It's
because there's a few that are not great, and then there's a few that are pretty all right.
This is great.
And was that homeless lady that hits him? Was that Ruth Buzzy from Laughing?
I don't
think so. It looked exactly.
Wow.
Even her face.
So eventually he hides in a barrel.
The one that the Satan slut knocked him into.
Yes. Yeah. He decides to stay there.
I'm just going to chill here.
Yeah.
It's exhausted. It seems safe.
Figure out his next move.
Right.
Oh, here's the doll head jacket guy. My bad.
And then Leah Thompson is attacked by thugs in the alley.
Fans.
Yeah. So yet again, in as many weeks, just another casual sexual assault right off the bat.
Well,
attempted,
you
I should
say.
You
can't really get the plot of a movie going without a sexual
apparently
assault.
Apparently not. In the 80s, apparently not. Like,
what
crime
times.
Should it be? Rape.
Well, she's a girl, so we're going to rape.
Yeah. She can't be carrying anything valuable except, just...
Except her rape parts.
Yes.
I apologize to everyone.
Although you coined rape parts, I mean.
Twitter. Leah Thompson's attacked by thugs in the alley, and Howard decides to help. Mm-hmm. He defeats them using a unique style of martial arts he calls quack fu.
It's pretty common on Duck World, though.
I'd imagine so. I mean. Hey everyone, Thoreau from Harmless Phosphorescence here with a message for you. Yes, you listening to me talk. Did you know that the Harmless Entertainment Network has a Patreon? That's right, you can join in and get extra fun like a Star Wars Harmless Phosphorescence miniseries, a patron-only Q&A roundtable episode. We have great bonus episodes of audio dramas like Attention Hellmark Shoppers in 1994. But not only that, if we reach our next patron goal, we'll do a monthly bonus Harmless Phosphorescence about a patron-chosen non-superhero movie. Plus, there are great new shows on the way, and if you're a patron, you'll get to hear them first. Head over to patreon.com/harmlessentertainment today, and for the price of a cup of coffee, you too can join our super awesome superhero club. Now, back to the show.
Do you have any history tidbits of duck foo? Quack foo?
Quack foo. No, I don't have any history tidbits of quack foo. But that scene, he's hiding there, and he's trying to ignore it. He's trying to ignore the sexual harassment that's going on.
The cries for help.
And then he just says, "That's it. No, Mr. Nice Duck." After they call her Snot Nose for the second time.
Yeah. He's not having that.
And he's like, it's like, called allergies, asshole. Yeah,
do they have mucus on his planet? They don't
out
have
of a trash can. He like leaps up and out.
Yeah.
And I love his line when after he leaps up and out, he says, "Let the female creature go."
Yeah.
Yes.
Authoritative.
Every duck's got his limit, and you scum have pushed me over the line.
Yeah, that's kind of like a Popeye vibe. Like,
yeah, totally.
Stands all I can stand, and I can't stand no more.
After the thugs flee, Howard asks where he is, and she tells him he's in Cleveland, on Earth. She starts to leave, but feels bad for Howard. She decides to take him to her apartment and let him spend the night.
They talk about her band, and he's like, "Why are you playing in dumps like this? Or why don't you get a new manager?" And she says, "Because we have a contract."
Right.
So yeah. That's the contract that to play dude. In this this abandoned industrial warehouse behind chain link fence.
Her gigantic apartment.
Yeah.
Gigantic.
But well, again, it's
in Cleveland.
It's also in Cleveland.
But it was in an abandoned type warehouse too, as well.
Yeah, maybe she's a squatter.
A warehouse loft.
But
that space was huge.
But it was huge.
The scene where we have the really tense connection, obviously, between Beverly and Howard, the saxophone solo, the music in the rain.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's one of the worst moments in this movie. Like, this, just the pacing and the feel of this scene is so terrible.
It's pretty bad.
Setting up the sexual
tension.
They're
looking at each other and then like, hey, man. Well, yeah.
Before it gets too far away, in the opening hijinks sequence, we saw that Howard had fleshy palms.
Oh, yeah. And around his eyeballs.
And the weird skin around his eyeballs.
If you weren't uncomfortable, look for these things in the movie.
So much about this.
The fleshy padded hands.
Fleshy padded hands and fingernails.
So much about this just made me uncomfortable.
Yeah. Uncanny Valley all the way.
And little things like that were choices, you know? Like, that has nothing to do with the comic book or the creator, you know?
Yeah. You could
it's
just
like,
made
no,
them,
he should have flesh hands.
You could just make them feathery hands. And
it would be fine.
No just like those titties you made earlier.
As DuckTales taught us.
Right, exactly.
She takes him to his apartment and introduces herself as Beverly, and he asks for a beer. He sits and...
she offers him milk in a bowl.
In a bowl first.
Yeah.
And like, he says he'd prefer a beer.
Doll, I don't drink out of bowls.
I've never had
a
or milk before.
Yeah, that's right. It's like, well, you can guess the birds aren't into milk, right, lady?
Yeah, you've seen birds.
Howard has said it himself. He's a sensitive duck.
Yeah.
You know, this is no place for a sensitive duck.
He's 27. He's still learning about himself
and his body.
Well, that too.
Then he mutters to himself, "I'll put you in a bowl."
Yeah.
He's aggressive.
He is.
And he really is. Until he's not.
They made him way less, like, he was purposefully obnoxious in the comics. That was part of his character, like, abrasive and obnoxious.
Chewing on cigars and stuff.
But, you know, it's a movie, so the kids got to love him somehow.
Yeah, well, yeah, they were, yeah, that's the thing, is it was half a kid's movie and half not.
Yep. Nobody was happy.
Yeah,
they were winking a lot at, like a lot of sexual stuff. And
a lot.
Like Shrek, but way, way worse.
I don't know.
Great.
I don't know. There was no Smash Mouth in Howard the Duck, so.
Yeah, and it hurt for it.
It probably would have improved the movie if there had been.
If he just starts singing, "And I saw her face."
Right. Oh, He did not sing, though.
No, he did not sing, but he played the guitar later. Anyways.
Spoiler.
Yeah. He sits and a truck goes by, shaking his chair and giving Howard a some PTSD flashbacks.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, they literally flashback.
They're the most terrifying part of the whole movie. That, yeah. that scene is what I remember from my childhood watching this.
Yeah.
It's the wide eyes and him, like, shaking, having, like, a serious flashback.
Yeah, it was intense.
Yeah, it was freaky.
He tells
post time and space duck. That's a good acronym for PTSD.
Oh, man.
I was trying to think all afternoon.
He tells Beverly about his life back home and how he gave up his music dreams to become an advertising copywriter.
So he's like he's a Don Draper.
Yeah.
Which is a duck.
Oh, yeah.
He could have been Don Draper if only they'd known about that show that was coming 30 years later.
Mad Duck. Mad Ducks.
Mad Ducks. Yeah. His little ad, he does his little ad, he holds up a perfume and says something like,
Like
he's going to love the way you smell. Something more eloquent than that. Like, he's not bad.
Like, put it on you. They talk.
Put it on you.
What was that Calvin Klein
Doritos campaign?
It was oil of something.
Yeah.
Supposed to be Olay, but I didn't write it down.
Mm.
I failed.
They talk about Howard's greater...
They produce their own natural oil to keep their feathers, you know.
Duck fact.
Cool in water, yeah.
Can we just have duck facts every episode?
Yes, man. I'll bring in a duck. All right.
Okay. Are we going to have like a
Jack Hanna?
Real duck in the show?
Be like, Josh, you realize that we don't have a camera. Yeah.
You heard it here first, folks.
No, he has a beautiful singing voice.
Where are you going to get a duck, bro?
He knows a guy.
I know a guy. Yeah. I know a guy.
Got a duck guy?
Yeah, you don't worry
is
about that
a
part.
Is he a duck?
No, the guy's not a duck.
Oh.
Shit. That'd be messed up.
They talk about Howard's great. They talk about Howard's greater purpose, and he says they need to get home. He falls asleep in her window, and she tentatively touches his feathers and then covers him with the blanket before going through his wallet.
Yeah, and finding that unpackaged tiny condom.
Yeah, so the unpackaged
That's
condom,
the problem I have with it. Is
it's unpackaged.
Yeah.
You know what a condom is by the package. The package is pretty iconic for a condom.
But they wanted to show the tiny.
It's unpackaged and unused.
Yes.
Right.
That can't be good.
No, he's going to get lint and dust on it.
Yeah, he should not use that condom.
So did he
it's like,
did he on the sly on the way back to her house like unwrap the condom and like keep it ready?
No, I think it's always been like that.
I think it was for the sight gag.
Yeah, yeah. Just for months.
But they
it's been in his wallet.
It's just bad sexual health like advice.
Well, right. Yeah. Don't open them, children.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Keep them in the package.
Don't keep them in your wallet.
No, no.
And don't
linty for her
take
pleasure.
Them out of the
whoever
until
he
you're
uses
using them.
Yeah, whoever he uses that with is gonna get a UTI.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been rubbing up against money, which
or
is the dirtiest
eggs.
Thing on the planet.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's our condom corner this week.
Don't rub your dick and money.
So we see his mallard card.
Yes.
And his blooming ducks card.
Yep.
And then the money with George Washington on the front.
Yeah.
And apparently the country he lives in is the United States of Anatidae.
Mm. And that's their classification, right?
Is that Latin for duck?
That is the biological family of water birds, including
ducks. Facts.
Ducks, geese, and swans.
Woo!
Anatidae.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Duck fact.
I was going to look it up, but I figured you were going to look it up. So
when in doubt, I will look it up.
Yep.
We cut
until he doesn't.
That's been my yeah.
The following day, Beverly packs Howard in a garbage bag and takes him to Phil Blumbert, a scientist who Beverly hopes can help Howard return to his world. He's amazed by Howard and suspects him of having superpowers.
Yeah, all of Superman's. Yeah. He runs down the list.
Yeah.
Telekinesis.
Laser vision from your
eyes. Telepathy. Can you read the future?
Mm-hmm.
Fly.
Tim Robbins, man.
Can you read my mind?
I'm a fool.
Yeah, they should have had a mind song while they were up in that glider thing.
Right?
If you're up in the air, mind song time.
Howard threatens to leave, and Phil explains his theory of duck evolution.
Yeah. So, and was that chart, I looked down for a minute, which I often do, was the chart of the evolution of man, you know, but ducks, was that already there?
No. The chart of the evolution of man was there, and then he said, use your imagination, okay, and the light, yeah, shone on
somewhere
the new,
all right,
the
Howard's
duck evolution.
Planet.
That's what I thought. That's, yeah, what
the museum,
like,
there will be a
imagine
sign.
Imagine if you will.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
After Phil is revealed to be only a lab assistant, Howard and Beverly leave and argue. He tells her to leave him alone.
Howard's disgusted that they're all hairless apes.
Yes, yeah, very disgusted.
And stupid.
Yeah.
To him. Yeah. He's like, are you a scientist or a janitor?
So yeah, they argue. He tells her to leave him alone, and she stomps away, leaving Howard all by himself. He decides to find a job.
Yeah, he gets accosted by some kids. It's really weird. Mm-hmm. He tells the kids to fug off.
Yeah.
Fug off.
Oh,
ah.
Wow.
I thought he said bug off.
I'm pretty sure he said fug off.
Huh.
All which, right, was weird. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, so a welfare office or unemployment.
Well,
office.
Okay. Okay, so this brings me to a point here. Everyone is either 90%. Of the population is not freaked out enough,
right,
by Howard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, not even close.
Well, he's getting a lot of screams, but he has a lot of conversations with people that, yeah, they should be screaming instead,
yeah,
of having
his
conversation.
His social worker is not at all fazed by, no, the fact that he's a duck. She's pissed that he doesn't have a job.
Okay, well, she thinks it's a ploy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's his little...
Yeah, yeah. We cut to the unemployment office where his social worker tells him she's going to find him a job despite his controversial appearance.
All right.
Controversial.
There's a lot of anti-duck...
Right, so,
media propaganda.
So yeah, no. So like the corollary here is like, you know, another race, like his controversial appearance.
Right,
he was wearing pants, which is,
well, controversial, you know, for a duck.
Yeah, because, you know, Donald didn't wear pants.
He kind of had a
Disney ducks wear pants.
Kind of, yeah, had a mohawk, you know, the, you
except
know,
for Launchpad McQuack.
Yeah, when he was aroused,
he kind of
had
a mohawk.
Yeah,
a faux hawk.
Well, yeah. No. His feathers become erect.
Yeah.
On the top of his head when he is aroused.
Yes.
So he needed a job. Why did he need a job?
Just because he realized he was stuck on this planet.
Yeah, he's got to make his way.
This guy, Phil, isn't going to be able to help. Yeah.
Does he have an apartment? We didn't see that, but
no.
He's not living with Beverly.
No, we didn't see an apartment.
Yeah.
After he gets, after he quits from the sex sauna.
Yeah, the swingers club.
We see him riding on the bus and then sitting on a bench. He's got a pretty snazzy little outfit.
Yeah, a little.
Well, but
he shoplifted it from
like Goodwill.
Well, there was that one. He was wearing all the kids' clothes.
When
he was in the unemployment office, but then after he quits and he's riding the bus, he's got like a little 3-piece suit, and like business attire.
Oh, yeah.
Got $20
and a fedora.
In my pocket.
That was his best outfit of the whole movie.
Yeah. He didn't wear it for long.
No.
Okay. So he gets a job as a janitor at a local romance spa.
Yeah. It looks like, has anybody heard of Plato's Retreat by any chance?
Nope.
It was a very famous swingers club in the 70s. They even like made a movie about it in the 70s. Yeah. In New York City. So it looked exactly like this.
Just interesting.
Poorly lit, gross. Like lots of water. and that's where STDs came from, kids.
His boss tosses him into a hot tub with a couple getting it on. Mm-hmm. And so he retaliates by pushing the boss into a pool of filth, and then he quits.
And I do it was a mud bath.
It was a mud bath. Yeah.
But there was like, oh, he was pulling a bra out of it.
There was a sign above okay. that said lava of love.
Right.
All right. Like, I looked down.
And I just...
Get into a spa, Thoreau. I think you'd really enjoy it, you know?
A mud spa?
Yeah, a mud spa.
I just mentioned the thing about the swingers club. And, you know, us being our age, we were unsure. But this was supposed to hit with the kids in 1984. Just like, oh, they'll get the Plato's Retreat jokes.
They'll totally.
Kids are like, oh, swingers clubs. Tell me about it. So weird.
He sees a TV in a store window and discovers the duck hunting season. As well as cartoons. He freaks out and flees, finding himself back in the alley he originally crashed in, where Howard enters the club where Beverly and Cherry Bomb are performing a slow, sad song that really does not fit the crowd.
One of the worst musical moments in this movie.
Yeah.
There's a cameo by Miguel Sandoval. famous Latin character actor. He's in Jurassic Park. He's the guy running the mine when the lawyer shows up. I thought Mr. Hammond would be here. Yeah, he's a great actor. He's been in a lot of things.
And who was he in this?
He's the Leah bar Thompson. Owner. Or yeah. It says he's bar owner or bar manager, but he's at the bar. And then the other guy, what's his name? He has like a gangster, like a nickname.
Yeah.
Oh, Rico. Is it Rico?
Richie.
Richie. That's right. But he's standing between them.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess he owns the club.
Was he the guy that was giving the manager money?
Yes. Yeah. He paid the manager, crooked manager.
Right. Yeah. Trying to pimp her out.
Yeah.
Well, or that's basically the take that, you know, because the band is playing in his club. So, you know, here's the money for your band.
Okay. Yeah. 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 He was just paying like, the band and the manager wasn't going to give them the money.
Yeah. But. It seemed like the owner thought he was going to get some. As a result of giving the money.
Well,
to
I mean,
the
they are a chick band. Yeah. And it is 1986. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, at which point Leah Thompson stops the slad song and says, "It's time to rock." She doesn't literally say it's time to rock, but she decides it's time to rock.
Yeah.
Howard comes across the manager, confronts him when he insults the band. He insists the manager gives Howard the band's money to give to them
after a bar fight.
Yeah, yeah. A fight
crazy
breaks out.
Bar fight.
Yeah, and Howard gets the upper hand.
So Brian pointed out to me that Richie was the guy, the car valet from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
I knew I recognized him from somewhere.
What country do you think this is?
So Josh just does impressions of walk on bars.
No, I'm all so irritating. Yeah, that was him.
Yeah.
I think. Other than Jeffrey Jones, I thought there was another Ferris Bueller character. Oh, never mind.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Oh, yeah, I'll think.
Yeah. So the manager lets them out of their contract after Howard gets the upper hand.
Yeah, and he uses everyone in the bar as a witness.
Yes.
Like as notaries
and again,
on the spot.
Again, everyone is not freaked out by the fact that he's a duck.
Until he brings up the space rabies.
Yes.
Then they freak out a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah. Nobody touch me. I've got space rabies.
Howard.
AIDS vibe too.
Yeah. Howard rejoins Beverly backstage after the band's performance and meets the band. She tells him she was worried about him. He apologizes and they make up.
So I have to give a shout out to Holly Robinson, who was KC on the keyboards.
Mm-hmm.
Holly Robinson. We may all know best as Officer Judy Hoffs from 21 Jump Street.
21 Jump Street.
She was fantastic.
Yeah, she was great. And she was actually doing the performances along with Leah Thompson.
Yeah. Oh. Cool. Yeah. At that point, Phil arrives with beer and pizza and is excited to see Howard.
Oh, he also is excited to see the girls.
Well, yeah.
I missed the show, but I'm here to watch you change.
Yeah. Trump style.
He tells him he's working on getting him home.
He's
and then he tells the girls.
With a fork, man.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Another abomination.
Then Howard tells the girls that he got the band's money and they're ecstatic. Phil plucks a feather, causing Howard much distress.
Because Phil had like three really bad theories that were posed to him by other scientists, but then like he gets a call. He has to go talk to whoever, and he comes back, and he's in his manic phase again. He's
very manic.
He's a very he's a lunatic.
He really is.
He is, and he's bent on fame and fortune. It's not even about science.
No. Right. So he manically plucks a feather from Howard's tail, and is almost taunting him, just like I'm gonna prove where you came from. Blah, blah. Just like,
or else
you'll thank me.
What were some of the theories? Do you remember some of the theories?
One was that he was an ancient duck that had been frozen
in ice for
several million years.
Ancient Samoans worshipped
a large duck
figure, which I'm not familiar
with.
That might possibly be what we call a lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
bullshit.
Yes.
Yeah, you had me till then.
Yeah, I can't think of what the... There was a third theory that was equally implausible.
Yeah. Howard accompanies Beverly back to her apartment, where after hearing him jam, Beverly tells him he should be their manager.
He is awful on the keyboard.
He's really bad.
So he just presses a button, and it's just some auto beat from that particular organ.
I used to own that drum machine.
Yeah. Awesome.
TR-707.
Yeah.
I bought it from the guy who did the music for Lost, and I sold it, and I am kicking myself still.
What?
It doesn't do what Howard did. It doesn't play bass lines or anything like that. It just is a drum machine. It's great. It's a great drum machine.
But can you like do beats from Lost on it?
I don't know. I don't think he was doing it, but that was the guy that I bought it from. That was like, I walked into his studio and it was great. I was like, what do you do? He's like, oh, I've done some music for, you know, TV shows.
Huh.
I do Lost. I was like, this is dope.
Wow.
It was like 20. Whoa. It was amazing.
So Howard gets this beat and bass line going, and it basically turns in, I mean, later it'll be the Howard the Duck theme song.
Yeah.
But he's just like, yeah. And he just starts mashing the keys.
Yeah. In his little dance.
So haphazardly and out of tune. And she comes in and she's like, that sounds pretty good.
Cute.
And she's like, oh, that's a song I never finished.
Little butt wiggle the whole time.
Yeah.
Too.
So this leads me to the question, is Howard a really terrible musician?
Yes.
Is maybe the reason he didn't make it because he's not very good?
Oh, we'll get there.
Could be.
This movie continues to get worse. And it ends on its worst musical moment.
So he makes a lewd comment and she invites him into bed to watch Letterman.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, he flirts, and when she calls his bluff, he freaks out.
Oh yeah, he says his lewd comment. I don't know if it was that lewd. He says, "I've developed a greater appreciation for the female version of the human anatomy."
Mm-hmm.
As she bends over,
and then gives a little cat call.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They have cats on Duck.
Of course,
town?
Duck of course planet? They do.
They have duck cats.
Duck World.
Yeah, they call them dats. Like,
well, another duck murdered by his pet.
They have apes on Duck World. They just never evolved into humanoids.
Okay.
Hmm. Yes. Yeah. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Doesn't she say different? Like she's into it. She wants give it a shot.
Well, yeah, but then she says she was just messing with him.
No, he says that.
No,
well,
she says
that first as he's really uncomfortable, and then she says that afterwards. Oh, probably to make him comfortable.
He comes on to her. She calls his bluff. And then he backs down, and she makes him really uncomfortable.
Yeah, but then at that point afterwards, she says she was messing with him back.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Doesn't one of them say different strokes?
Something. Yeah, that's in there somewhere. But
I
yeah,
I had a Gary Coleman different
but,
strokes.
But they were really, I don't know if either of them were joking until they got cold feet.
Yeah, I agree with that. They were both down to clown.
Yeah, for sure.
A million furries born overnight.
Yeah, exactly.
What is that from? Down to Clown. What is that from?
Just things people say.
No.
There's a... I don't know. Jerry Wagner used to say it all the time.
I know, but there's a particular thing where he says, I'm blah, 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 and I'm always down to clown. I feel like it might have been Paul Rudd. I don't know.
Maybe.
They are interrupted by Blumberg and two of his colleagues, including Dr. Jennings, who reveal that a laser spectroscope they were inventing was aimed at Howard's planet and transported him to Earth when it was activated.
Well, it was actually aimed at the gases around Alpha Centauri, some unknown force redirected the laser to hit Howard's living room.
Which they never explained.
They never explained the force.
Well, yeah. I guess it wasn't important. It was the dark
the overlords. Yeah.
It may have had a hand in it, yes.
Oh, they were already. Okay, gotcha.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. So.
Howard supposes they might be able to send him home with the laser, and they theorize it might possibly work and establish a they might be able to establish a continuing link between their planets, but it has to be that night. Bev tells Howard she's going to miss him.
Howard tells her that he's going to miss her. Just like, she's the one thing that's making him sad about leaving.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So this is really an end-of-the-movie kind of speech, I thought.
Yeah.
The saxophone music is...
He does think he's about to leave.
Yeah.
Playing, it's bad. Yeah.
Just from a screenwriting point of view, it seemed oddly placed.
Yeah.
The level of pathos they were going for seemed oddly placed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On the van ride to the lab, Howard tells her that she makes it hard for him to leave because he feels so much for her. Then upon their arrival at the laboratory, alarms are going off and they find a disfigured scientist who just kind of wanders away without receiving medical treatment.
But he shouts out, "It's exploded again. It was terrible. We have no right to tamper with the universe."
Yeah, right. that's true.
Wow, that's heavy stuff.
Yeah, no, there's the existential element they were talking about. It wasn't whether or not to hump Leah Thompson.
Well, that's pretty existential. And they find the laser spectroscope sparking. They are told Dr. Jennings took the full brunt of the blast off screen.
Yes.
The malfunction raises the possibility of something else being transported to Earth.
Dun, dun, dun.
The cops show up and try to take the suit off Howard before realizing he isn't in a costume.
And Howard wants to see his lawyer.
Yeah. Does he have a lawyer?
He got a job, an apartment, and a lawyer.
That's the first thing you do.
Well, the Duck World justice system is identical to our justice system.
It's so, not at all like Krypton.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, God.
12 ducks of your peers.
Get onto this record.
You don't break that. Don't break that thing.
You broke it. Now we're going to throw you into space.
Forever.
Inside an LP.
Which apparently is a lava planet.
Yes.
The mirror broke on both sides.
They arrest Howard. They arrest Howard. And he throws a cigar in a trash can.
They arrest him for the charge of being an illegal alien.
Yeah.
Made up charge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And would have been cute at the time. You know?
Yeah.
Superman's an illegal alien, but yeah. I was so just funny. Like, bleh.
Yeah, exactly now.
Ugh. He's an undocumented duck. No, he is documented, actually, as a social worker.
That's right.
Yeah.
He does. Yeah, holy so he's got
so he has a social security number.
A social security duck. A social duckurity card.
Is he a duck on the dole?
Duck on the... Yeah, she mentions that, doesn't she?
On the dole.
She
yeah,
says
she
the said dole, the dole. Yeah, like yeah. You just want to stay on the dole.
Sneaking around the lab. Oh, yeah. Beverly steals the cop's gun and they escape. Then sneaking around the lab, they find Dr. Walter Jennings, who is acting strange after Howard decides to throw the gun away.
Right.
Yeah. They overhear the cops saying that he's armed. So he just tosses the gun into a drum of unknown gross liquid.
Right.
Just like.
Yeah.
And then they say he's dangerous. Mm-hmm. They get his height wrong by 1 inch, and he's a little upset about that.
Sure,
naturally. They say he's 3'1". It's like 3'2".
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but luckily...
3'2", sorry.
Luckily, they use the imperial system where he's from.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird. They haven't fixed that there either.
And then they proclaim that they should shoot to kill.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very serious.
And he makes an SPCA joke right around here somewhere. I don't know. I thought it was funny that they had the SPCA Duck World.
He tells them he saw something. Oh, yeah. Dr. Jennings tells them he saw something in the explosion and the experiment was unauthorized. They escape together in a car and he warns them that there's something dangerous inside him taking over his body.
I think that's true. Jeffrey Jones turned down a dark path.
Okay. Why did they let this survivor of a recent industrial accident drive the car?
Yes.
Look, he's hurt. He's in pain.
Why?
Well, look at your choices. A duck and a woman?
Yeah, I can't let the lady drive.
Jesus, they get all nervous.
She might have her time of the month right then.
And if it's raining, forget it.
Bears could attack them.
Yeah, why was he driving? Because he was going through his whole metamorphosis the whole time.
The fault giving them a play-by-play of his metamorphosis.
That's really sad. Like that weird voice. Yeah.
No. So I got a real what's his face? Men in Black bug guy.
Yeah, kind of. What was D'Onofrio?
Yeah, D'Onofrio.
Right.
Well, D'Onofrio. Yeah.
And in fact, the creatures that they turn into remind me from the first Men in Black. Yeah, those roach creatures.
So yeah, Jeffrey Tambor passes out at the wheel and
Jeffrey Jones. But I would love that if it was Jeffrey Tambor.
Damn it.
George Bluth.
I'm terrible at names.
Or Hank Kingsley.
Yeah, also kind of an asshole we've discovered.
He's a dick.
Yeah. Passes out at the wheel, and Howard and Beverly steer the car into a sushi diner parking lot.
Okay, yeah.
The sushi diner.
Cajun sushi.
Right.
Joe Roma's Cajun Sushi.
Roma. So you got an Italian name there. Yes. You know, but it doesn't necessarily have to be Italian food.
Well, yeah. did you see on the menu there was like a name like that crossed out in Sharpie and like it was written on them?
Oh, like no, they that's set amazing. This up the night before.
Well, yeah, no, like it's they're like the regular diner isn't working. What if we become a sushi diner?
That's
hilarious. So it was very, sushi diner. They had those, karate or kung fu headbands.
Yeah.
With the rising sun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Odd. Yeah.
But that waitress was hilarious. I don't know who she was.
The waitress was my favorite character in the entire movie, hands down. Yeah.
Are we having the same conversation here?
You're looking for someone else.
No, I am someone else.
I no longer require human food.
But then he's like, she took my eggs.
Yeah, she took my eggs.
Okay, and at this point, he becomes the funniest character in the entire movie.
Yes. Yeah, at this point, he starts stealing the movie.
Yeah.
In the diner, the creature inside Jennings introduces itself as a dark overlord of the universe that was released from his celestial prison in space and entered Jennings' body.
At the Nexus of Somnus.
Nexus of Somnus.
Wow. Yeah. The region of demons outside normal space-time.
Far out.
He tells them that he will destroy all life.
Oh.
Just kind of flat out. Yep. No, like Thanos half.
Right.
Full just on. All life.
And they just don't take him seriously.
So the evil overlord is supposed to be based on Thog, the Netherspawn, overmaster of Somnus, which is the character that brought Howard the Duck to the Earth in the comics.
Okay. Wow,
cool. So it kind of is them pointing without saying this long, ridiculous name.
Right.
And just calling him an evil overlord instead. And not the only one.
That's cool.
He shows them the code key. Oh, wait. He demonstrates his power, his developing mental powers, by destroying table utensils and condiments. Then he shows them the code key that activates the laser and tells them he's going to bring down the rest of the Dark Overlords.
Has the waitress brought their specials yet?
Yeah.
Somewhere at this point,
she brings in their food, and it's three plates of fried eggs and like corned beef hash.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like you would at a diner, but not sushi.
Right.
Yeah.
Obviously, Howard freaks out because they're eggs.
They're eggs.
He exclaims just his disgust, and she says, "What's wrong?" And Janning, Dark Janning, as I started calling him around here, she says, "You haven't even tasted it." Oh, wait, no. She says, "What's wrong?" This will mean the extinction of all existing life forms. You haven't even tasted it yet.
Well, he's very quippy for an intergalactic evil. Yeah. Like he knows colloquialisms.
He's super
like
quippy.
If it's too hot, you can't stand the heat. Get out of the kitchen.
Yep. Right.
It's just like, oh, Howard. Yes, they say that on his planet.
They get her human TV in the netherworld.
Outside of space and time. They say that. Howard steals the key, saying he's going to use the laser to go home. Then a fight ensues when a group of truckers in the diner begin insulting Howard.
Kick his ass, Seabass.
Yep, Seabass. Taking the code key.
Just yoink right out of his hand. Just like, what's this? A key to your duckmobile? And he just puts it in his pocket.
All right, dick.
Yeah, guys in trucker hats and puffy vests could basically do whatever they wanted in the 80s.
As long as they're in a diner,
absolutely.
I liked the fact that Howard employed Jennings, Demon Jennings is what I call them, because he's not even a demon, but just seemed like a demon.
Dark Jennings.
But he was like using his enemy against his new enemy, which is such like a clever tactic in that kind of situation. But it didn't work out as well as it could have been as far as the writing goes. But that's fun. Yeah. It's a fun thing to do.
It took a while. Yeah. Beverly says to Jennings, "Are you just going to sit there?" And that's when he says, "She took my eggs."
Yeah.
You got to help him.
And he's like, "I said I didn't need food. I didn't say I didn't want food."
Well, and he says to me, one of the funniest lines is she's begging him to help.
Uh-huh.
And he just goes, "You barely know him."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
he's so judgy.
Yeah.
He's my favorite duck. You hardly know him.
Yeah, you hardly know him. I mean, and it's true.
But out of ducks. Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Like, he's the duck I know the best.
Howard is captured by the mob and is almost killed by the diner chef, who I assume is going to make
Yeah, was
they're
it
going to eat sushi? Him.
Right, it was going to be like a Benihana him. Table yeah. or something. Yeah.
But Beverly convinces the Dark Overlord to help Howard.
Oh, she tries the ploy of shouting, "He's my boyfriend." And they all stop for a second.
Cloris Leachman style.
And then just say, "That's disgusting," and then proceed to
yeah, turn right back to
we're
going to
eat him, but you're disgusting.
Yeah, this anthropomorphic duck.
Yeah, weird.
And there were ducks hanging. So he mentioned the eggs on his plate. But then in the window to the kitchen were ducks hanging, cooked ducks.
Oh, my God.
It's like a Chinese Cajun sushi place.
That's yeah.
Like, you know. I mean, sushi. You
that's like some Texas
duck.
Chainsaw Massacre stuff
no,
for him.
Yeah. But yeah, Szechuan does whole roasted duck. But yeah, in Cleveland,
yeah.
this restaurant.
Yeah,
yeah, duck is
fusion food.
Cold fusion,
way ahead of its time. Cold fusion,
cold fusion food.
Sushi's
so
cold.
The Dark Overlord takes out the trucker, frees Howard, and destroys the diner.
Because they get the crowd laughing about yeah. him, and then Beverly just says. Look, they're laughing at you. So he takes umbrage.
Yes.
And I love what he says when he stands up. It was another one of those things. Release the small waterfowl. Bring me the code key.
That looks like a hotel pass key.
Yeah.
Or like a little Namco game, like a football game.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, the Dark Overlord takes the code key back from Howard and leaves, taking Beverly with him and stealing a semi. In the truck, mm-hmm. he says he needs more energy, and a tentacle comes out of his mouth, diving into the truck's dashboard and sucking energy out of
the out of the cigarette lighter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
This is when the effects start to tank.
Yeah.
And we all know movies aren't made in sequence, but like from that point on, they get way shittier than they were
really
in the first
do.
Half of the movie.
Yeah. That stopped.
It's odd.
The yeah,
budget
I'm not
constraints
gonna...
or something.
That's what. Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, did they shoot? You know, beginning, middle, and end. Because yeah,
specifically, there was a dummy at the very beginning of that sequence that should have just been cut out of the movie. It was so bad.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
badly he just looked, made.
And the dummy's head was so much smaller than Jeffrey Jones. So yeah.
It didn't look like a cast or a
it
mold
looked
or
terrible.
Anything. It just looked bad.
Really terrible.
And gross.
Yeah.
The cops show up at the diner with Phil. Who has been arrested for his presence at the laboratory with no security clearance. Howard sees him and helps him escape, or tries to, but Phil escapes on his own.
This part actually made me laugh out loud, because Howard was hiding amongst the other statues of animals in Kitty Land.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's posing E.T. like a duck. Would.
Well,
but then also Phil's like super stoked about getting a criminal record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's excited.
He's excited.
Make
for
him
it.
Tough. Well, and it's a weird McLovin thing. Like, why would they bring him to the next crime?
Exactly. Right?
Like, just hang with us, Phil. You're all right. Could you take off the handcuffs? You're not that all right.
They discover an ultralight aircraft, and Howard tells him he's afraid to fly.
He doesn't swim, and he's afraid to fly.
There's a saying on Duck World, if God intended us to fly, he wouldn't have taken away our wings.
Boom.
Ba-dum.
It's one of the more interesting things that happens in the movie.
It
that
is.
Line. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's an interesting thing to think about.
Existential.
Yeah.
Duck facts. Woo! The next morning, the Dark Overlord is searching for power. He's found a nuclear power plant. Meanwhile, Howard and Phil finally get the ultralight going after all night, apparently, messing with it.
They just had to build it. And despite Howard saying that he's afraid to fly, Phil makes the duck fly the plane.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's a natural, though.
Yeah. So they take off, fleeing from the cops, and go to search for the Dark Overlord in Beverly. Yeah.
Well, and they need a new body for the, you know, incoming overlords. That's why he grabs Beverly.
Yes. Yes.
The damsel in distress scene.
Exactly. At the power plant, the Dark Overlord ties Beverly up and takes a tour of the plant. He uses his powers to break into the reactor and sucks up the power.
So the guy, he goes on like the nuclear reactor tour.
Yeah.
Essentially. And the tour guide says that the reactor produces
1.21.
1 million kilowatts of power, which to Doc Brown would be 1 gigawatt
of power. No, no, no. To Doc Brown would be 1 gigawatt.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
Well, that's right. But yeah.
But still.
He needs 121 to travel through
1.21. Still not enough for time travel.
Yeah, far enough.
Bummer. Coming out of this nuclear reactor.
And yeah, also, and that's not how nuclear reactors work. There are so many weird things.
Right. Yeah, right. Scene. Yeah, it's just a tube that comes down from the reactor into a television or a refrigerator. Yeah.
It's a series of tubes.
Yeah.
And so they need electricity to live. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Why are they coming here? Isn't there a lot of electricity? Out there?
The nuclear power plant was a cool place for him to go. I don't know why it didn't, like, stay there. In there, you know, it's a good place to end the movie. It was a weird
because he had to get back to this. He had to get back to the spectroscope. Yeah.
And I know they just wanted to destroy all life, but I don't know. It's just why did the overlords want to come here?
Phil and Howard have been building this plane all night, and Dark Jenning and Beverly have just been driving around in this truck all night long.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yes.
I mean, it didn't take that long to get from the science lab to the diner.
Right.
But it's taking all night long to get back. I guess because he had to go.
Well, they had to go to the nuclear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nuclear power. They got women have to stop and use the bathroom a lot. I've read that.
Meanwhile, the police are chasing Howard and Phil in the aircraft through the town. They escape and buzz a group of duck hunters.
Oh, yeah.
Then
from the skies to all duck hunters.
Tora, Tora, Tora.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm getting my revenge.
Yes.
Yeah, it was wow.
The Dark Overlord busts up some cops, and then back on the aircraft, Howard and Phil are continuing their adventure when the Dark Overlord returns to the lab.
Whatever you just said about the cops, they have to go through like an emissions checkpoint.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
It's just is that a thing they did? Smog emissions checkpoints? Is it like
Is that when no, that's a weight thing when semis have to pull
right.
off.
Yeah. Yes. They still do
but
that.
It was every car.
It was every car. Everybody had to go through this like random emissions testing on the side of the road.
I could see that happening in California maybe in the '80s. But not Ohio. Ohio, yeah.
No, they ignored their pollution for a long time.
Yeah.
In Ohio.
And then at this point, there's a weird thing where, like, Phil gets genuinely angry at Howard for, like he's, like, and tries to turn on him and, like, give him up to the cops while they're flying.
Oh, yeah. Well, he has to fix the fuel line.
Yeah.
And then when the fuel line gets fixed, he gets, like, bumped out of the carriage and he's hanging underneath the plane with his head going through the water, and Howard said something snarky as he's climbing up as he's climbing up, before he sits down he makes the strangling motion, and then another jolt, like he gets bumped down again and he's hanging onto the cage, and then he starts like telling the cops, like, the duck did it. It was all the duck. It wasn't me.
He's
a duck terrorist, yeah.
Which is just patently not true, because it was his idea to escape and steal the airplane.
Yeah, exactly.
His motivation...
He's trying to cover his ass.
But he kind of sucks.
Yeah,
they never clearly define what he's after, exactly.
Fame.
No, never.
Yeah, I mean, fame and money. Beverly. That's what it seems.
But then he's
fame.
Like, well, throw it all to the wind to, like... like help Beverly and like help the world and like, but like, no, he's a very ill-defined character.
Yeah. And a few times it's about science, it sounds like, you know, but no.
When he did finally get back up, Howard did say, welcome back, Phil. And he says, it's great to be back, Howard.
Then he's just instantly back on board with like the adventure.
Poorly written character.
Very poorly.
Yeah. He won a Razzie for...
Did.
Oh. That's how bad this character.
Yeah, wow. Tim Robbins won the Razzie for his supporting actor.
Worst supporting actor.
Oh, well done.
Yeah.
They crash in the water after losing their wings and make their way back to the lab, where they find Beverly strapped under the spectroscope.
We're reminded that Howard can't swim.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Where the Dark Overlord plans to transfer another one of his kind into her body with the dimension machine.
This is a great sci-fi shot. like inside this giant room with this big piece of machinery, the evil scientist monster, you know, like got the girl strapped to the table.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was set up so beautifully.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it looked great.
Then the movie continued rolling.
So Howard and Phil enter a restricted storeroom and steal a neutron disintegrator. Mm-hmm. Bill saves Howard's life. I don't know how it knows to only disintegrate neutrons.
I'm just burning, doing the neutron thing.
Bill saves Howard's life, and Howard phases off with Jenning, blasting him with the neuron disintegrator.
Well, and the blocking of this scene is on a vehicle. Like the hero is fighting on like a golf cart.
Yeah,
with his gun strapped to it.
They have to attach the giant gun to a science cart,
which they both clearly have the strength to handle.
Yeah.
Yes. Well. Okay.
Well, they're not mole men.
Yeah. They should have done that, like crouch down. You know,
lay the gun on top of Howard.
Yeah.
Well. Okay. So he's driving the like straight at Jennings. But why? Because the gun can shoot much further than Jennings is from him.
Yeah.
He explained that he had to be closer for it to give its full effect, but
It was not.
It took time to explain that.
This was everything. This whole end sequence was badly staged and badly shot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's lucky that it takes Dark Jennings so long to charge up for his power attacks.
And his metamorphosis has made him grotesque, and it's really interesting to see. He's got like bones growing out of his back. And he's got,
he looks pretty cool.
His face, there's a lot of like Palpatine in him looking, which is like the dark eyes and that kind of thing.
Like you said, he becomes the most interesting character. I remember as a kid, like my friends and I, we'd watch it a lot, but laugh at everything he said, all the diner stuff,
He also had super breath at this point. He was blowing the science cart away.
Yeah.
So.
The science cart.
Super breath.
It looked like it was an electric vehicle. Also, batteries. You know.
Around. Yeah.
So
activated by the seatbelt.
So he blasts Jenning with the neuron disintegrator.
Howard had a lot of like really a string of unnecessary quips right here that just didn't land. Like everyone, he just screams out turbocharge, and then he says, "Now it's my turn, Dark Overlord. I want you. Prepare to eat beak. So long, sucker." Like
he's trying
uninterrupted
to get a catchphrase.
He's trying to get in a catchphrase. Yeah, the
woozle wuzzle.
None of them land.
It reminds me of
Wubba Lubba Dub Dub.
Yeah,
what's the Brooklyn Nine-Nine? Jake, you know, is always like going through his taglines for everything. Yeah. The boys are back.
Yeah,
boys will be boys.
They do like the crossing the beams effect. That was kind of a neat thing.
Yeah,
but he is driving forward. Also,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so bad.
Yeah, so he believes he destroys the Dark Overlord, finds Jenning is back to normal, but then Jenning tells him the creature has only been forced out of his body. It's still alive. They release Beverly, and the Dark Overlord reveals his true form, bursting forth as a giant lobster scorpion.
I thought it was more of a Rancor vagina crab.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, just a big vertical mouth with four layers of teeth and
in a pretty terrible sub Harryhausen. Like,
the animation was so bad.
It was awful.
Like, we've already seen superhero movies that had better green screen or matte use.
Animation. And this is ILM.
I couldn't believe it.
Post Return of the Jedi ILM.
Right. Those aliens look like they were color forms or stickers.
Well, and
like,
I mean,
they did not blend the background.
The Rancor was one of the most, like, you kind of had to suspend disbelief a little bit for that scene because it was so amazing at the same time. This lacks all of the magic of something like that.
It just
didn't blend well. Yeah.
It was something Gene Siskel would have been mad about, but yeah. It looked so animated and it was so bad.
It was terrible. Yeah.
Like, worse than Snow White. You know what I mean? Like, Snow White was
The creature design, too. I didn't, like, look too deep into, like, why the creature looked like this rancor crab thing. It was too complicated. It had too much stuff going on.
There was
on.
Way yeah, too much going on. Yeah.
They could have simplified that thing and it would have been way more compelling, but it was just this weird talking.
It was a blob of moving clay bullshit.
But you're right. There was so much that it compelled you Spikes to look, to try to look at everything yeah. on them. And yeah,
there was no central focus, focal point right. On the creature itself. It was really weird. It was really poorly done and surprising because A, they have all of this comic book stuff to draw from.
Right.
B, like George Lucas and right. ILM.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like he said, we had just seen Boba Fett fly.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, like, it, but no.
I mean, like,
these aliens.
Yeah, get it. Yeah. Yeah,
it
so
was
bad.
Awful. So, yeah. The Dark Overlord hits Howard with a tentacle and activates the laser. He blasts Beverly and Phil, freezing them with their some sort of like electric
boogaloo
boot thing. Yeah, exactly. And
they sparkled.
They yeah. did. And Jennings gives Howard a saw to cut himself loose. He gets back to the neuron disintegrator vehicle, and Howard fires the neutron disintegrator at the hideous beast. Rushing towards him, he obliterates him. Phil and Jennings.
And then he lets out a Tarzan yell.
Yes, he
yeah.
does.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this was there was some altered states kind yeah, of cliches. Stuff going on. Some yeah. of the visual effects yeah. were kind of weird, chopping in and out of different layers of things. It was cool, but
yeah, which was all right. If it hadn't been so bad,
yeah.
Phil and Jennings urge Howard to destroy the laser before more overlords arrive.
It's 1 minute to arrival.
Yes, one yep. minute till arrival.
Yeah, with the little, like, almost like an airport
so
voiceover. Like, yeah.
Jude,
1 minute.
Jude actually brought this up to me.
Overlords will be boarding
me.
And. 10 minutes.
He said, so did he reprogram the entire computer to announce when overlords? Because before, it just shot a ray into space.
Yeah.
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 Good point, Jude. Yeah.
He's a great computer programmer as well yeah. as a demon.
He called Gus.
It was all in the code key.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right.
There you I go. Don't know. Yeah. But Beverly tells him, don't do it. You should go home. Howard decides to destroy the laser spectroscope, preventing more dark overlords from arriving on Earth.
And at this point, he takes the time to pick up the laser and put it on his shoulder
yeah.
to shoot it.
Right. Yeah.
Just shoot it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
For real.
Yeah. Pick it up.
Goodbye, Duck World.
But yes. He seems to care about humanity more than Kal-El does.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, for sure. Sure.
Just to compare.
It's fate, you know? He accepts it as fate. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and his life wasn't that great in Duck World. He looks back.
Well, yeah. He's taken a liking to hairless ape right. women.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Well, now he gets to be a manager of a band and, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And he doesn't have to be an ad copywriter. Yeah.
Right.
Beverly finds Howard under some rubble and believes he's dead. But he wakes up and is okay. He jokes about being a dark overlord.
Oh, yeah.
I am not Howard.
I am not Howard.
She had the touching line of, this world didn't treat you very well, but you saved it, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, that so was beautiful. Very sappy.
Yeah.
She and Tim Robbins both look terrified when he pranks them.
Oh yeah,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wouldn't you be?
Oh, of course he's a he knows quack foo and he's a demon.
Yeah, I think that's probably where it was starting to sink in. They were in this movie.
I would just be glad that he didn't look like that grotesque thing. Anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh God, yeah. He Jennings mentions that when they're in the diner, he says, "I look." I'm wearing this suit so you don't see my grotesque form.
Right.
And she says, what does she say? Lucky for all the diners.
Yeah, exactly.
So him being in Howard would be a good thing.
I'm someone else.
I'm someone
That's all he says.
Else.
I'm yeah. someone else.
Howard then becomes Beverly's manager, gets her a big gig, apparently, hires Phil as a roadie.
Stage manager.
And,
somebody's got to do lights.
And, plays guitar with Beverly on stage.
Okay, a total Marty McFly. Like, I know Marty does the duck walk like Chuck Berry, so that's not like Marty McFly, but he looked like Marty. He's moving, or I don't know. It was just Leah Thompson, and it looked like Michael J. Fox. But as a duck.
Michael J. Duck?
Yes, that's what it was. Yeah, not Fox.
It was a complete accident that he ended up on stage because he pulled the wrong rope. He was supposed to cue the giant egg, but he pulled the wrong rope, and he ends up being hoisted out onto stage. Mm-hmm. But thank goodness, Phil has the little tiny guitar ready.
Just exactly. ready.
Ready yeah. to go. Yeah. It's rock and roll.
It was never part of the plan.
It was all a setup. We're on to you guys.
But it was a little tiny Fender? Is that right?
Something like that.
I thought it was like an LTD or something.
All right. He's like, the neighborhood of B, watch me for the changes. And then meanwhile, they're like, this is your cousin,
so
Marvin Duck.
The film version of this song has one of the Duck worst Berry. Guitar solos I have ever heard.
Really?
It is bad.
Like, worse than guitar solos that I play.
Like,
I'm bad at guitar.
Like the Cherry Bomb version of the song, or
the
Thomas
version,
Dolby?
The live version of Howard and Beverly playing
the solo,
guitar okay. together.
The solo that Howard plays.
Okay. Yeah. That they're clearly miming. They're not actually playing it on stage.
That duck is not playing that?
But it sounds like it. I mean, it sounds like a guy in a duck costume playing guitar. Yeah. I'm sure he's very encumbered. But the recorded version of the solo is amazing. There's some really good edits of like a music video version of the movie on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
And I love this song. It's so catchy.
I really liked it. I liked it as a kid.
Song,
I like Thomas Dolby as a kid too.
I got the lyrics to the chorus, the first chorus anyway, because it changed a little bit. But they call him Howard the Duck. Come on, whip me, Brian.
Yeah. It's my favorite part.
No way to conceal it. With a feather's touch, I love him apart. They call him Howard the Duck. If it ain't funk, he don't feel it. And he shot an arrow straight to my heart.
Wow.
Okay.
So Thomas Dolby wrote that down.
Yeah.
He sent it over to the producers of this movie.
I didn't see an arrow anywhere in this film.
Nope.
Yeah, needless to say, that may be an overt reference to duck penis.
Yeah.
We almost
got through that without talking about duck penis.
Yeah, that's
we have to assume
the arrow stands for.
There was no
even in Greek
duck sex in the movie, but we assume that this song has been written. It's inspired by their love, which has a physical aspect.
And maybe it's because he's 27, but you know, he comes off as pretty suave at first, and then you know, he's almost like a teenager, nervous.
Yeah. Well, she's also a hairless ape.
Go play with the hairless ape.
Well, in his wallet, you got the picture of him with the two ducks on the beach. He's pretty smooth, I'm sure, in duck world.
Oh, yeah, there's that woman who left him the message. Not woman. Duck.
Yeah, he's lady duck.
He's clearly Rico Suave in duck world.
Yeah, he gets some tail.
Yeah. Oh.
Ba-doom. Ba-dang.
Anybody?
Okay.
I want to shout out all the overlords in the crabs now.
Anyone got anything else on it?
This movie's terrible. Watch it. It's hilarious. If you haven't seen it in a long time, watch it again. I'm going to watch it more.
It's terrible, but it's fun terrible while still being clearly like just terrible.
It went down easy. Way easier than Toxie, but I kind of like Toxie. That's weird.
I think Toxie might have been a better movie.
Yeah.
Don't watch it twice in 2 days. You'll hate yourself.
You will. That's a lot.
But listen to the song. It's good.
So I like to watch the credits and try to find either a weird job or weird name. Somebody had on this production, somebody had the job of duck coach.
Nice.
There are no living ducks in this, no actual earth ducks.
There was in the duck hunting
scene, for duck season.
There was a duck that flew behind the plane and quacked.
Okay.
After he.
Well, it's always been my understanding that those people would be called a handler, duck handler. But this was a coach, so I don't know if it was
get out there, boys. You can do it.
I don't know if it was for that actor, the little person who played Howard, or what. It's like, no, a duck would never play that solo.
Weird. Yeah, I wonder if it was maybe they were teaching him how to do the like voice.
Yeah,
you know?
Donald's. Mm. A duck would never wear those pants. Thanks, coach.
All right, so guys, we're at it. We're at the time. We have to rank this thing. So, this is the 11th movie we've watched for this podcast. And where do you want me to start? Top or bottom?
Bottom.
Bottom, yeah.
All right. Is this movie better or worse than The Toxic Avenger? That's number 11.
I mean, so much is better. However, like as far as linear storytelling, we brought it up during Toxie. Like that's a really well done beginning, middle, end for superheroes arc.
No,
similar themes too of the girlfriend falling in love with the freaky looking guy.
Yeah, yeah. So it's so we have right above Toxie, Condor Man.
Oh man,
is this better than Condor Man?
No. I don't think. Well,
But again, it's that trick. Like, no, I don't think it is a better movie, but it means more to me. Like, I enjoyed this.
Yeah.
I have memories from my childhood. But no, I think Condor Man was a better production.
It was.
Disney
was
put up some money.
So, yeah, so it's definitely not going above Condor Man. So it's just a matter of, is it above or below Toxie?
I really was turned off by Toxic Avenger. The things that turned me off of this movie did not turn me off.
Okay, I agree
with
that.
Toxic Avenger, where I was just, like, shocked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Second to last, then.
I'm not a gore guy.
Al, thoughts?
It was pretty graphic, though, you're right.
Yeah, just above Toxic Avenger, I think.
We've got three more Toxic Avenger movies.
It was not as brutal and harsh.
And it's not as good as any of the Supermen.
It was supposed to be brutal and harsh. They succeeded in what they were doing with Toxic Avenger.
I did have a question. How is this a superhero movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
How is he a superhero?
He's a normal duck.
Okay. So
he's got no
and
powers.
And stays that way.
So, okay. So, no, he does not have powers. He does come from another place.
Yes.
Where he fights evil.
Okay.
And what, in the end, I kind of went off a screen. He shows up to fight Thanos in Endgame.
Yeah,
he
does.
So I felt the character at that point earned being a superhero.
Okay.
So I felt that the film earned being a superhero. All
right.
And it is the first Marvel property.
True.
Yeah. Put on screen. It's more honorary than anything else.
Okay.
But you can let us know, folks at home.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Do you think it counts? I mean,
I believe in Howard the
Duck. He knows quack foo. Yeah. I mean,
he plays guitar pretty terribly too.
In the comics, Howard the Duck had minimal magic abilities.
Yeah.
But those did not show up here.
Well, and yeah.
At any rate, where did we rate this? Was this
second to last?
We put it in at number 10. Number 10, right above Toxic Avenger.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're at. Do we want to...
What's our number one still? Superman?
Superman is still 78? Number one. Yeah, Superman 78.
I'm fine.
Is number one still. So that's it. That's where we are. I'll quickly run down the list because, again, we're not... In another few weeks, I think we're going to get to the point where it's going to be too much to run down the list.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Superman at number one. Well, I'll go backwards. Toxic Avenger at the bottom. Then Howard, Condor Man, Hero at Large, Superman and the Mole Men, Supergirl, Superman 3, Superman 2, Swamp Thing, Batman 66, and then at number one, Superman 78.
All right.
So we've got next week, Superman 4.
The Quest for Peace.
Our final Superman, our final sulkened Superman.
And knowing Superman and his motivation, it should be called The Quest for a Peace.
Ba-dah! Yes, next week we'll be taking a look at Superman 4, The Quest for Peace from 1987. And that will close out an era of this show for sure. So that's it, guys. Thank you all very much for listening. I am Thro Smiley, and I am not Jack.
I'm Josh Cece, and I'm a duck lawyer.
I'm Brian Lesh, and I'm the voice of the cosmos.
I'm Alaric Weber, and my duckness is inborn.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
This episode of Harmless Phosphorescence was brought to you by executive producers Katie and Finn Thorpe and Atticus Burkett, as well as producers Michael Beckwith, Etta Paulson, Kirsten Reed, Alyssa Dent, and Jay Birchtree. Make sure you rate and review us on iTunes. If you'd like to become a patron, visit patreon.com/harmlessphosphorescence. Follow us on Twitter, join our group on Facebook, or follow us on Instagram. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next week.